Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sinivadi Paskatyade Satarane. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Panchakalpa Trubhascha Kripa Sindhavyavata Patijanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is August 16th, 2022 at Gita Nagari, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 52. Brahmana uvacha katram kasyasi kovayam shayano yasya sochati janasi kim sakayamam Yen agre vichachartaha. Brahmana uvacha. The learned Brahmana said, who's Krishna? Ka. Who? Twam. Oh. I'm wondering if I. Can you all hear me? Is it coming through on the mic? Twam, you. Kasya, whose. Asi, are you. Kaha, who. Va, or. I am, this man. Shayanaha, lying down. Yasya, for whom. Sochati, you are lamenting. Janasi kim, do you know? Sakayam, friend. Mam, me. Yena, with whom? Agre, formerly. Vichacharta, you consulted. Ha, certainly. Srila Prabhupada's translation. The Brahmana inquired as follows, who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When a person's relative dies, renunciation is automatically visible. Consultation with the Supersoul seated within everyone's heart is possible only when one is completely free from the contamination of material attachment. One who is sincere and pure gets an opportunity to consult with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature sitting within everyone's heart. The Paramatma is always the Chaita Guru, the spiritual master within, and he comes before one externally as the instructor and initiator spiritual master. The Lord can reside within the heart, and he can also come out before a person and give him instructions. Thus, the spiritual master is not different from the Supersoul sitting within the heart. An uncontaminated soul or living entity can get a chance to meet the Paramatma face to face. Just as one gets a chance to consult with the Paramatma within the heart, one also gets a chance to see him actually situated before him. Then one can take instruction from the Supersoul directly. This is the duty of the pure devotee, to see the bona fide spiritual master and consult with the Supersoul within the heart. When the Brahmana asked the woman who the man lying on the floor was, she answered that he was her spiritual master and that she was perplexed about what to do in his absence. At such a time, the Supersoul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master. A sincere devotee who follows the instructions of the spiritual master certainly gets direct instructions from his heart from the Supersoul. Thus, a sincere devotee is always helped, directly or indirectly, by the spiritual master and the Supersoul. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. If the devotee serves the spiritual master sincerely, Krishna automatically becomes pleased. Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. By satisfying the spiritual master, one automatically satisfies Krishna. Thus, the devotee becomes enriched by both the spiritual master and Krishna. The Supersoul is eternally the friend of the living entity and always remains with him. The Supersoul has always been ready to help the living entity even before the creation of this material world. It is therefore stated here, yen agre vichacharta. The word agre means before the creation. Thus the Supersoul has been accompanied the living entity since before the creation. Brahmana uvacha ka tvam kasyasi yo vayam shayano yasya sochasi janasi kim sakayam mam yen agre vichitartaha. The Brahmana, who is Krishna, inquired as follows, who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. So here Srila Prabhupada is making the point that we need help, and that help is always available to the living entity in the form of the Supersoul and in the form of the spiritual master. So we always need help. I mean, we may think we don't. And again, we always have the Supersoul to help us, although we have also dependence on Guru. We have dependence on the external manifestation of the Supersoul, which we can talk a little bit about. In what way, what do we mean by the Guru is the external manifestation of the Supersoul? And ultimately, we will see that it is a reciprocal arrangement between ourselves and the Guru and the Supersoul in order to get the help that we need. So we always need help. Of course, those of you who are around my age will remember that famous Beatles song, Help, I Need Somebody. I didn't used to think I need help, and now I realize that I need help. So an intelligent person will understand, you know, I need help. I'm not able to do things entirely on my own. Right? Recently I was dealing with a very, very sad case of a devotee who did some horrible things. And he said, I didn't realize I could have asked for help. I didn't know that I was able to ask for help with what was going on with me. So it's a fact that we always need help. Sometimes we're more aware of it than others. You know, sometimes we're more in this mood that I'm independent, I can take care of myself, I'm autonomous. I mean, if we think about it a little bit, even on a physical platform, you know, Prabhupada would always talk about the verse in the Bhagavad Gita that we're dependent on rain. I was thinking about that. It was raining here yesterday, and everything here is so lush and green. You know, if you live in a place where there's no rain, just like in the Gulf countries, there's often no rain. For maybe a year or two, there's no rain. Thinking, if you grow up in those countries and then it rains, you're like, you know, Daddy, why isn't there water coming out of the sky? So they can't grow practically anything. You know, what can they grow there? It's very difficult. That's why in those countries they have so many preparations that are dependent on dried fruits because they have to get the dried fruits from other parts of the world. Of course, they can grow dates. And I remember in Bahrain going to the mall, and there's one shop, all it sells is dates, you know, like 50, 60 varieties of dates. So we need rain, is the point. We're not independent. Right? We need rain. We need fertile soil. We need sunshine. Otherwise, we can't live. We need clean air. And generally, you know, we're social creatures. We need other humans. You know, I can't do everything myself. I can't grow my own food and grow my own fiber and build my own buildings. And, you know, sometimes we hear about people who are stranded on some island and they have to live just on coconuts or things like that. You know, but even then, they're getting help from God. They're getting help from the demigods. None of us are independent. And we're especially not independent when it comes to understanding transcendental knowledge. I mean, to some extent, like Prabhupada said, even someone who's uneducated, they can look around at nature, and just by studying nature, you can understand something of God, isn't it? I mean, we have in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam the 24 natural gurus. So just looking at nature, we can understand something of God. I mean, I can understand that there's order, that there's day and night, that you can figure out when exactly to the second the sun is going to rise or a particular star is going to be in a particular place. There's the movements of the seasons. There's all this order within the universe and all the complexity. Oops, we just lost Zoom. Okay, that's great. So, okay, now I'm reconnecting. Okay, sorry about that. I think the internet went out for a moment. So we can see that there's order in the universe, and we can see that there's intelligence in the universe. And so anybody can understand that there must be some controller. Anybody can understand. Now the question may arise, is it one controller or many controllers? And that also we can understand ourselves. Right? This was the argument of the Yamadutas to the Vishnudutas. If there's many controllers, you know, even you see in a family, there may be some difference of opinion. You know, should this child be punished or not punished for what they did? So the Yamadutas were saying this, you know, if there are many controllers, some... Oh, I'm muted. Oh, Krishna. I'm muted. Am I muted? My microphone is not working. Okay, it doesn't show that I'm muted. Microphone is not working. Please use a different mic. Unmute my audio. Oh, Krishna. Ah! Sorry. No, it was just... Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Am I hearable now? I'm going to bring my own computer. Am I hearable now? Can you hear me now? No, it's not working. Ah! Let's see if I can get on. Okay. So I was talking about how we can understand God by just looking around. We know it has to be one God, because otherwise the different gods are going to disagree with each other. They're going to cancel each other. We can understand that God must like variety. On one plant, each leaf is different. Each flower is different. Right? And there's so many different kinds of plants. Like I said, there's, you know, so many different kinds of apples, so many different kinds of dates, so many different kinds of everything. We can understand so many things, but there's a limit as to what we can understand just with our own intelligence. And of course, even our own intelligence, matasmatirganamapohanamcha, is coming from God. I'm not even independent with my own intelligence. You know, if I get a disease or a stroke or something, I lose my ability to think. So every once in a while, we become really aware that we are dependent, that we need help. I mean, often we go through life just, yeah, you know, I got it together, I can take care of things, I'm I'm autonomous, but sometimes we become really aware. And Prabhupada's making the point in this purport, beginning of this purport, that when a relative dies, we get this awareness. I was talking about this yesterday also. You know, you get this moment of lucidity every once in a while, even a materialistic person, where all of a sudden they understand, wait a minute, you know, I don't really know what's going on here. I don't really understand the world. I don't really understand things. I need help to understand. I need help to be happy. So every materialistic person, anyone who's a human being, has moments, even the most degraded, degenerate human being has some moments where they, a flash of, I need help, I need understanding, I don't know what's going on, life isn't working the way I wanted, I'm not the controller. Okay? So especially, we talked about this yesterday also, that generally the super soul is advising materialistic people how to fulfill their material desires, but during those moments, the super soul speaks to us spiritually. You know, we see this in our own human interactions. We all know of the people in our lives that need to hear certain things, but we know they're not receptive, yes? Practically everyone in our lives, we can think, that person really needs to hear this and this, but I know they're not open to hearing it. And there may be some situation where we perceive, oh, they have some receptivity. Something happens. And all of a sudden, they're receptive. And then we can give instruction that we've been wanting to give all along. The point is that the super soul is ready to give us the best instruction. Just like we're ready with our family and friends and loved ones, we're ready to tell them. But we're only going to tell them when they're open to hearing, if we're intelligent. We may have all had the experience of trying to tell somebody something they needed to hear when they weren't receptive, and the result of that was usually not pleasant. Right? The person just puts up a bigger wall to hearing from us. They just become angry. It's actually an offense to preach above someone's level of faith, to preach beyond somebody's receptivity. So we can say, okay, I know I need help, but where do I find good help? You know, there's this whole plethora of self-help books that you can go to any online or brick and mortar bookstore, and there's huge thousands and thousands, maybe millions of self-help books. How to get help with this, how to get help with that. There's so many therapists and counselors that one can go to. Right? I mean, a friend of mine just recently decided she needed some therapy, and it was really hard to find an appointment because so many people are going to therapy that the therapists are booked up months or years in advance. But how do we really get the help to know what to do? Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that in sattva-gun, one knows what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is binding, what is liberating, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared. And this is our question constantly with the little things. You know, should I eat now or should I wait for an hour? Should I go to the store today or should I do it next week? The very, very little things. Should I go to sleep now or stay up another half an hour? What should I do? Should I wear this? Should I wear that? Should I go to this event? Should I not? And what to speak of the big things? Should I marry or not? Should I marry this person? Should I have children or not? Should I have another child? Should I have this career? Should I have that career? Should I buy this house? Not buy this house? Should I rent? Should I move here? We don't know. You know, we really don't know. A friend of mine just bought a very expensive house with a very high mortgage because he had a very, very good job. And 1 month later, the company closed down the whole department. He lost his job. So had he known that, he never would have bought the house. But we don't know, right? We're making decisions without knowing. And the biggest decision we're making without knowing is, what's the purpose of life in general? How should I live my life in general, overall? Right? And we can go to all the counselors and all the self-help books, and we're not going to find that perfect person. But there is a perfect person, and that is God. And he's waiting. I mean, it's amazing. Just like, you know, when we know that we know something that somebody needs to hear, but they're not receptive, and we're just kind of waiting. And then finally they ask, and I thought you'd never ask. I just, you know, we had all these technical difficulties today, and the devotee usually takes care of that, isn't here. I was thinking about, and Janmashtami's coming up, singing about one Janmashtami. So we were at the big festival, and they couldn't get the sound equipment to work. Right, and my son was sitting next to me, and I said, why don't you volunteer? I would have gone up and volunteered, but he's not like that. And I said, why don't you volunteer? And he said, well, they haven't asked me. You know, finally, at a certain point, they said, hey, can you come help? Sure, I'll be happy to help. I was just waiting for you to ask. So Krishna is like that. Krishna doesn't interfere with the independence of the living entity. He just doesn't. He's neutral. He's neutral. He's not going to interfere. He says, when you want me, I'm here. But if you don't want me, I'm not here. And it's not just an on-off switch. There's degrees. So Prabhupada's speaking about this degrees in this purport. He's speaking about hearing from the spiritual master, right? Which is something anybody can do. Spiritual master is before us in a physical form, speaking words that we can understand with our ears and words we can read with our eyes. It's very accessible to us. Then Prabhupada is talking about by following the spiritual master, we start to hear and see the Lord in the heart, and then eventually we come to see the Lord face to face. So he's talking about a progression of receptivity. And I thought in this connection of the stages of meditation. So in the Nectar of Instruction, text 8, Srila Prabhupada describes stages of meditation. And he's quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. These stages of meditation are also explained in the Sandarbhas by Srila Jiva Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains them in many different places. He explains them in Harinam Chintamani, he explains them in Jaiva Dharma, and he explains them in his commentary on Raghunath Das Goswami's Srimana Shiksha, verse 11. So these stages of meditation very much correspond to what Srila Prabhupada is alluding to in this particular purport. Getting instructions from the Guru, hearing the Lord in the heart, seeing the Lord in the heart, and then seeing the Lord face to face. So the first stage of meditation is hearing. And it's very interesting also if we look in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, I can't remember the verses, but I was just reading that this morning, where Krishna talks about also seeing the Supersoul. And he says, some see the Supersoul through meditation, through dhyana. He says some through sankhya, which Prabhupada talks about more as jnana in the purport. Some through karma yoga. So there's jnana yoga, sankhya yoga, or jnana yoga, and karma yoga. And then in the next verse, he said others understand the super soul by hearing, and that leads them to worship. So although Krishna doesn't use the word bhakti in that verse, if he's talking about hearing and worship, obviously he's talking about two of the primary angas of bhakti yoga. So one first starts with hearing. Hearing from guru. Hearing from a realized soul. Hearing from somebody who is getting advice from the super soul. That's as good, isn't it? Yes? If I'm hearing from God, or I'm hearing from someone who's hearing from God, and Prabhupada talks about this fact at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, this is the mystery of the disciplic succession, that the guru is a transparent via media, but still the experience is direct. Very interesting purport. Now, hearing from the guru Is the same as hearing from God, but not exactly the same as hearing from God? In what way is the guru not exactly the same? Because we talked about this yesterday. The guru is not omniscient. The guru is not omnipotent. And here the verses keep talking about the Lord saying, I'm your friend. And again, we talked about this for yesterday's verse as well. Prabhupada would say, I am not your friend, but I am your friend in this sense that I am introducing you to your friend. So it's not that the guru necessarily knows, you know, all of our past lives and everything that's going on in our heart. And, you know, like people have asked, well, if Srila Prabhupada knew that children were being abused in the ashram schools, why did he send? But he didn't know. He's not omniscient like that. So when we say that hearing from the guru is tantamount, as Prabhupada said in yesterday's purport, to meeting the Supreme Personality of God, at the same point he's making here, he's saying that the guru is transmitting this ultimate knowledge and general knowledge. And of course, the guru can personalize how we practice bhakti yoga to some extent. The guru can look at our... I was speaking with Deva Richa Swami, and he was talking about whether or not devotees are worshipping Govardhan Shilas. And we were saying, well, this is something for individual gurus to decide. I want my disciples in general to do, or I don't want my disciples in general to do, or this particular disciple or not, that the guru can decide what's best for a particular disciple. The guru may decide, you know, okay, I want you to study these shastras, or I want you to do this particular service. So the guru can give personalized instruction. That's part of the reason for having a guru. But also the guru can transmit to us this universal, eternal, and transcontextual truth that they've learned from the Lord. And the guru can, according to time, place, and circumstance, speak truth that's not universal, eternal, or transcontextual to bring us to that ultimate truth. So by hearing from guru and by hearing from God in the shastras, Krishna is speaking in the shastras. This verse that we're reading today was spoken by Krishna himself in the form of a brahmana. So we can hear like that. But we should hear meditatively, not officially, or not to pass some trivia test or something like that. But we should be hearing as a form of meditation. And we just had this whole body, mind, spirit group who are all into I'm sure many of them are really into some meditative practice. So we hear in a meditative way, not superficially. Then the next stage of meditation, it's what's called acceptance. What we hear, we start really integrating into ourselves. It starts becoming part of ourselves. We start changing. You can understand how just the act of hearing denotes a certain degree of receptivity. You know, if I come to you and I say, I'd like to hear from you, that's some receptivity. If I start really accepting what you've heard, that's even more receptivity. And we can all understand that when someone is accepting what we're telling them, we're much more likely to reveal more to them than when they were just hearing without really accepting. So Krishna's like that too, and the guru's like that, as we're hearing from guru, as we're hearing from Krishna, and we start to really accept, then they're revealing more. It's a kind of dance, you could say. It's a relationship that's going on here. So then the next step is called meditating. It's interesting, these are five stages of meditation, but the third step particularly is called meditating, smadhanam, remembering. So once we start to really accept, then we're able to deeply meditate. It's like the acceptance has gone more into us, pervaded us more. Now, this stage of meditation, called meditation, again, it denotes a greater degree of receptivity and a greater degree to which we are able to hear the Lord and to see the Lord and to be aware of the Lord. Now, this third stage of meditation has five subparts. The first is meditating interrupted. So I think about this with making burfi. And many places I go in the world, nobody makes burfi anymore. But I'm going to assume that on an ahimsa farm, people make burfi. Right? So first thing is you pour the milk into the pot. That could be compared to just the hearing. Right? Then you turn the fire on under the pot. That could be compared to the accepting. The milk starts to boil. That can be compared to the meditation. Now we have these five sub-stages of meditation. So the first is you're stirring your pot, but it's interrupted. You stir the milk, and then you cut up some veggies. You know, you stir the milk, and you wash the beans. You stir the milk. You start working on the chapati dough, right? It's interrupted. So our meditation is interrupted. We're meditating on Krishna. We're meditating on Krishna's instructions, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And then we start thinking about that, you know, the FBI raided Donald Trump's headquarters. We get distracted. Or we think about, oh, I have a bill to pay, and I don't know how I'm going to pay it. Or we think about, oh, you know, that person insulted me yesterday. How am I going to respond? Oh, yeah, let me think about Krishna. Oh, Krishna's dancing on Kaliya. Oh, I know what I could tell that person who insulted me. Right? It's interrupted. So then the next sub-stage of meditation is uninterrupted. So now you're stirring that milk all the time. Right? But it may not be deep. Or think of like some people listening to this class. So some of you, you're having interrupted listening. You're listening to me and then you're spacing out. You're listening to me doing something else. And some of you may just be listening, but it's kind of at a superficial level. So then the next is concentrated. The milk starts getting thick. So then our meditation becomes more thick. It's again going deeper. And then the next stage is expanded. This is when our meditation goes out of our japa time and Gayatri time and Bhagavatam class time and puja time, and it starts going into our day. We start engaging in meditation while we're at work. We start engaging in meditation while we're driving. We start engaging in meditation while we're taking a shower. It starts pervading. And just like you see this, the burfi getting thicker. And then the fifth sub-stage of meditation is samadhi. So now one's concentration is so deep that one is not shaken from it at all. And now your milk is totally, you know, you can turn off the fire, basically. All right, but there's something that hasn't gone into the burfi yet, and that's sugar. So it's very nicely explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam that there's, I think it's 328, 34, I can't remember. But it's that there's a samadhi on the level of the mind and a samadhi that's fully revelation. And this is also very relevant to this topic of what we can do on our own and help. So although through all these stages of meditation I've gotten help, this samadhi of the mind is the best that I can achieve on my without just the gates opening wide on the part of the Lord. And Jiva Goswami says that the Lord enters our consciousness through the pathway of our meditation. Lord Kapila Dev says that our own endeavor to meditate on the Lord acts like a fish hook that captures the fish of the Lord. So when we achieve this mental samadhi, the fifth subpart of the third stage of meditation, then the Lord becomes pleased and he reveals himself within the heart. This is now spiritual samadhi. And at this point, one can see the Lord in the heart and hear the Lord in the heart. Prabhupada compares this to spiritual television. I remember Dhruva Maharaj was seeing the Lord in the heart. Yes. And at this point, one's eternal form, one's relationship with the Lord is fully revealed. There will be some, in many cases, some glimmer of this at the accepting stage or at the meditation stage. One may get a glimmer, oh, I'm the Lord's parent, or I'm the Lord's lover, or I'm the Lord's friend. But it's at this stage, the fourth stage of meditation, where there's spiritual samadhi. And the rays of the Ladini Shakti, according to the eighth verse of the of Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashiksha, are entering the heart, illuminating the heart, and one actually sees the spiritual world from within. At this point, one is living in the material world, but one's consciousness is in the spiritual world. But there's a fifth stage of meditation, which Prabhupada also talks about in today's purport, where one doesn't see the Lord in the heart, one sees the Lord face to face. We can think about Dhruva's meditation. He's meditating on the Lord in the heart, and then all of a sudden he doesn't see the Lord in the heart anymore. He gets perturbed. He opens his eyes, and the same Lord he had seen in the heart is there before him. So there's a perhaps well-known time when Prabhupada was speaking with a reporter, and the reporter was saying, you know, do you talk to God? And Rameshwar Prabhu at the time, he kind of interrupts and he said, yes, you know, the Lord is in the heart and the Lord is giving instructions and there's instructions from the scripture. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, I am seeing directly Krishna face to face at all times. So this is the samprapya. This is the ultimate, when it's not just the spiritual television in the heart. And it says at this point, the devotee, practically speaking, is living in the spiritual world. But if they're still here, they're here kind of like remotely. You know, it reverses. So you can see in this process of the stages of meditation, this interplay between our hearing, our accepting, our remembering interrupted, not interrupted, concentrated, expanded, samadhi, then the Lord fully revealing in the heart and the Lord coming in front of us face to face. There's also a very nice purport, I can't remember where it is, where Prabhupada's talking about the mode of goodness. And he's saying that the reason that we want to come to the mode of goodness, although it is also contaminated, is that it allows us receptivity. So we like to give the analogy, I'm pretty sure I first heard it from Garuda, that if we want to see things as they are, so you're inside, right? We're in material consciousness, but there's a window, just like here in the temple, there are windows. So if you put a room darkening shade over the window, you can't see anything at all. So that's like tamagun. If you have a light, like sheer curtain, or what, you know, those windows like you find in a bathroom that have that, they're like translucent but not transparent. You can see light, but you can't see shape, so that's like rajagun. And you have a clear window, that's like sattvagun. I can see outside. Of course, the window is bounded. It has a frame around it. Now, I can only really see clearly if I go out of the room and I'm outside. So in materialistic consciousness, tamagun, you can't see anything. You think what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right. In rajagun, sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. You know, most human beings are more or less in rajagun. Like sometimes, that's not right. And in sattvagun, you can see things clearly, but you're still limited. But at least in sattvagun, you're much more receptive to what the super soul is doing and to the presence of the Lord and the instructions of the Lord. So if we recognize, I need help, I'm not independent. I'm not independent in maintaining my body. I'm not independent in knowing, you know, what I should do from minute to minute, and I'm certainly not independent in knowing what is the purpose of life, how should I structure my life, and who is God. I can't figure out that God is a blue complexion cowherd boy playing a flute just with my own mind and my senses. And even my mind and my senses, I'm dependent. So if I'm going to recognize that I have this dependence, then it behooves me to take shelter of the real help. And again, that starts with finding a bona fide guru and hearing from guru. Without that, I'm lost. Because I can't just immediately jump to seeing the Lord face to face. That the likelihood of that happening, it's possible, Prabhupada says one can become Krishna conscious in a moment, but the likelihood of that happening is extremely small. Most likely, I'm going to go progressively, where as I grow to understand and as I grow to trust and as my faith increases, I become more and more receptive. Krishna reciprocates with me more and more. By his reciprocation, I become more and more receptive, and it builds on each other. To give a very, very different analogy, I heard this example once. I think it was from Harikesh Prabhu. He was saying, if you want to go ice skating, so if any of you are from the tropics, maybe you've never gone ice skating, but I grew up by lakes,
we had artificial ice skating rinks, and also we would ice skate on lakes. So if you want to ice skate on a lake, you know, it looks like the lake is frozen, but you don't want to fall in, you know, you can't be sure. So you kind of test on the edge, right? Maybe you throw in a few rocks, and you kind of gingerly go in and kind of stomp, and once you're sure, then you're skating all over the lake. So it's like that, you know, we start by hearing. All right, well, that sounds really good, that works. Then we start by accepting. Wow, the more I accept, the happier I get, the clearer direction I get, the more I understand. And so then we trust more and we meditate more. Well, I'm going to meditate, but not all the time. Sometimes. And then we start meditating all the time. Okay, I'm going to meditate all the time, but not too deep yet. And then we get more faith. And then, okay, I'm going to deepen my meditation. But not everywhere yet. And then we get more faith. And then, okay, I'm going to have my meditation deepened everywhere. And then we get more reciprocation and more faith. Okay, I'm going to make this everything. And then Krishna says, okay, you've made me everything, I make you everything. And he reveals himself to us. And then we're like, yes, you've made me everything. You're there in my heart. And we're more and more and more absorbed. He says, okay, all right. Now you can see me face to face. So we have some time today for questions. Hopefully people can... Either of you here have a question? Yes, Prabhu.
Yes. On the subject of independence, you know, each country, every year, the countries celebrate independence.
Yes.
For example, Jamaica, we just had our 60th independence.
Who is Jamaica getting independence from? Which country?
Yeah, that's a question I asked to myself. Independence from who, from what?
But I mean, technically speaking, independence
from
Britain.
Yes.
Yeah, they say the greatest gift of the UK is all the independence celebrations all over the world that people have.
Well, you know.
So you're from Jamaica, so you're talking about how Jamaica just had their Independence Day. Yes. India also just had their Independence Day from Great Britain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was born before independence. So I know the celebrations. So I'm saying to myself, it's 60 years. I'm over 60. So I'm saying...
I'm repeating for the people here. So you're saying you were born before independence of Jamaica.
Yes, I know the celebrations.
You know what it's like to be a colony and what's like, yes.
So I'm saying after 60 years, what have we achieved? Independence from what? You know?
Right, 60 years of independence, but what are you really independent from? Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
And as I came, you were saying that, as even individuals, you know, a child, you eat 18 years of time to go from home. But then you keep running back to mom and dad.
Yes, you're giving the example that an 18-year-old child, I can go out from home,
yes.
I can be independent. We all think when we're children,
yes.
Wow, when I get to be 18, I can do whatever I want.
Yes.
And the reality is a little different, yes.
Yes. Also, another point, Yuva Maharaj is meditation. You know, I read it a couple of times. So I'm saying to myself, when you go through the stages, you know, Yuva Maharaj.
So you're talking about Dhruva Maharaj and his meditation going through stages, yes?
And, you know, when you find yourself, who is the Lord? So we know that it takes some time to reach a stage, and that many of us will never reach a stage.
Yes, so you're saying that you know it takes some time to reach that stage, and many of us have reached that stage. Yes. Yes. Thank you so very much. I hope you don't mind, I was repeating everything. Yeah, Narada Muni's story. Of course, he didn't see the Lord face to face. He just heard him.
Yes, and he said, well, you know, I'm sorry.
The Lord said, you're going to have to wait for the last stage.
Yes, yes. But he didn't reach a point that was not reached, because that means he got the blessing of the Mahatmas.
Yes, he got the blessings of the Mahatmas. It's interesting with Narada Muni, he says, whenever I call for the Lord, he appears on the lotus of my heart. So he was staying at that stage for quite some time till the end. Thank you. Thank you so much. Atarika Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's nice to see you again and to hear from you. Thank you for another very nice class. I wanted to add a comment with regards to the omniscience of Guru. Councillor Brockman commented on this a few times. There was one instance in Los Angeles, morning walk in 1976, June 8th of 76. Our garage Prabhu was asking Srila Prabhupada, he said, I understand, Srila Prabhupada, that the pure devotee can be as pervasive as Super Soul. By the mercy of Super Soul, he can be present in many places at once. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, by the grace of Krishna, a devotee can become anything. So Duryodhana Guru Prabhu said, so in other words, that means the pure devotee can be omniscient. And Srila Prabhupada said, everything. God is omniscient, so a pure devotee can become omniscient by the grace of God. In another conversation, Srila Prabhupada stated that a pure devotee is not necessarily omniscient, but he will know whatever Krishna wants him to know.
Yes, a need-to-know basis. I mean, if we think about the devotees who we think about as being omniscient, we can think about Yamaraj. So Yamaraj is empowered. But Yamaraj is, Prabhupada said he knows about the humans, but he doesn't know about the non-humans. And he's definitely not absolutely omniscient. He also has his sphere of authority. Prabhupada said he doesn't have authority over the devotees. Or we think about Narada Muni. That Narada Muni, when he becomes the son of Lord Brahma, also seems to have a large amount of omniscience, but again, he's not fully omniscient as the Lord. Now, it is possible, and actually, I'm planning to talk about this more on Thursday, where tomorrow I'm not giving class in the morning here, but Thursday, where Krishna says, in the form of a Brahmana to Vaidarbhi, we are like two swans. So I'm going to be speaking then about the concept of equality with the Lord. But generally speaking, the liberated jiva is not omniscient like the Lord, generally speaking. So the Lord may empower a particular jiva in a particular way at a particular time. But if we have that kind of expectation of guru, we end up becoming very bitter and disappointed, is what I've seen practically. All right, so it is time to greet the deities. Thank you all for tolerating all of our technical difficulties today, of which there were many. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.
I'm going to miss a call from you.
Yeah, because I couldn't get on I didn't know the password to get on the computer.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that stuff.
Okay. The com-